Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading me articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's trivia questions come to us from the websites onthisday.com and thoughtco.com. Question number one. It was on this very day back in 1865 that which song was presented for the very first time? Was that A, Battle Hymn of the Republic, B, Onward Christian Soldiers, C, Honky Tonk Women, or D, Good Morning to All? That's better known as Happy Birthday to You, by the way. 1865. Which song lyrics were first presented on this very day? And question number two, what is a mondegreen? Hint, here's an example of a mondegreen from the song Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Olive, the other reindeer, used to laugh and call him names. So what then is a mondegreen? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of June the 3rd. Well, it was on this very day, back in 1991, that Willie Nelson began selling his, quote-unquote, Who'll Buy My Memories, the IRS Tapes album, through phone orders. It was later released in stores. The album was made up of songs that had been seized by the U.S. government and would go towards paying off his $16 million tax bill. 1991, today, Willie's IRS songs. And it was 30 years ago today, 1992, that the U.S. Postal Service announced that people preferred the younger Elvis stamp design in a nationwide vote. Elvis stamp. 1992, today. And in Appalachian music, dance, and theater news, we have this. An Appalachian Summer Festival. This is Music, Dance, and Theater, July 1 through July 30th, 2022. In App Summer, that's one word, .org. So, coming up this July in the ASU Pop Series, Marty Stewart and his fabulous Superlatives. That's on July 3rd. An outdoor concert and fireworks at 7:30 p.m. Then there's Esperanza Spalda in concert on July the 9th at 8 p.m. Renee Elise Goldsberry on July 16th at 8 p.m. Postmodern Jukebox July 23rd at 8 p.m. And Boz Skaggs, Out of the Blues Tour 2022, on July 27th at 8 p.m. In classical music, they have Maeve Gilchrist featuring Isuri Quartet and Kyle Sana in The Harp Weaver. That's coming up on July the 5th at 7 p.m. Eastern Music Festival Orchestra with guest artist Santiago Rodriguez on July the 10th at 7 p.m., the Hayes School of Music Faculty Chamber Players on July the 12th at 7 p.m., the Imani Winds at July 19th at 7 p.m., the Rosen Schaefel Competition for Young and Emerging Artists on July 24th at 2 p.m., and the Rolston String Quartet on July 26th, 7 p.m. As far as dance goes, in July we have Alice in Wonderland, July the 30th at 7 p.m., and as far as theater goes, we have Broadway's Next Hit Musical on July the 7th at 8 p.m. So on and around the campus of Appalachian State University in Boone, North Carolina for July 2022. Tickets are on sale now. Go to appsummer, that's one word, .org or phone 828-262-4046 for additional information and tickets. The Mesmerizing Moment, A Butterfly Landed on a Flautist Mid-Performance. This is for our classical music news. Published on the 18th of May, 2022 by Sophia Alexandra Hall in ClassicFM.com. A butterfly finds the best seat in the house, the performer's forehead. There was an unexpected star on stage at the Carl Nielsen International Flute Competition in 2014. A peacock butterfly couldn't resist Yuki Ota's beautiful rendition of Pierre Sancan's Sonatine for Flute and Piano and alighted on the performer's forehead. Most impressively, both the butterfly and the flautist remained focused on the task at hand. For Ota, not missing a beat, and for the insect, finding the best seat in the house. The video of the performance went viral, with millions of viewers watching Ota keep her cool during one of the world's biggest flute competitions. While many performers might have let the odd occurrence startle them, Ota told reporters she saw the butterfly's arrival as a good luck sign. "The butterfly just came and landed on my head. I didn't see it coming," the then 29-year-old Japanese-born Chicago-based flautist told Michigan Live. "It was kind of surprising, but at the same time, I had to concentrate on my performance. I thought if I stop, I will fail." However, failure is far from what Ota experienced. Not only did the DePaul University School of Music graduate place second in the competition, she also received the Orchestra Prize, the Audience Prize, and the Children's Jury Prize from the competition. Maybe that butterfly was lucky after all. John Batiste performing It's All Right introduces our jazz music news. It's an article entitled John Batiste, Graceful Talent. This is written by Grammy Award-winning record producer and musician Quincy Jones, published in Time Magazine 100, Icons, June the 6th, 2022. When I was studying composition with the famed music teacher Nadia Boulange, one of the many lessons she imparted upon me was that an artist can never be more or less than they are as a human being. So it is no great surprise to me that John Batiste, now the proud owner of 5 Grammy Awards and an Oscar, has found all of the success that he has so easily in his career. I first became aware of John's extraordinary talent the year before he landed the gig as band leader and musical director of The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. When I heard that he had New Orleans roots, it all made perfect sense to me. As the birthplace of jazz and the blues, the music that the world has adopted as its Esperanto, New Orleans holds a special and sacred place in our culture. John has a particularly keen understanding of that rich cultural history and an awareness of the importance of carrying that history forward. He has taken all of that foundational knowledge about our music and made it his own, unafraid to stretch himself as an artist and continually evolve. What I love most about John as an artist and human being, though, is that he has handled his success with grace and his creativity with humility. It is all of these attributes that will allow him to continue to grow and accomplish all that he sets out to. And I, for one, am excited for the future that he has ahead of him. Elvis Presley performing Can't Help Falling in Love opens our rock and pop music news. It's entitled Long Live the King. Elvis Lives. This is published in CBSNews.com on the 29th of May, 2022. When it comes to American pop culture icons, doesn't get any bigger, even all these years later, than Elvis Presley. So how exactly do you fit someone that big into 159 minutes of film? For the makers of the new biopic, Elvis, you start by casting Austin Butler, a preternaturally talented, aw shucks 30-year-old from Anaheim, California. When you look at Elvis as this iconic superhuman figure, it's hard not to feel small, Butler said. And so for me, my task was finding as much humanity and similarity and the realness as I could. One similarity? Both Butler and Presley lost their mothers when they were 23, a pain that was still very fresh as Butler was putting together his audition tape. And I thought, what could I do with this feeling? Butler told correspondent Luke Burbank. And I thought, well, what if I pour it into a song right now? That's what Elvis would do. And so I sat down and I played Unchained Melody, which if you look at the words, in one way, it's really about missing somebody and needing love. And so I sang it to my mom. And that's what got Baz's attention.
Take my whole life too.
Baz is Baz Luhrmann, the Australian director behind hits like The Great Gatsby and Moulin Rouge. He chose Butler over the likes of big names like Harry Styles and Miles Teller for the role that spans Elvis's entire adult life and career. I feel like Austin found me, Luhrmann said of Butler's audition. Could he be young Elvis and, this was the bigger question, 60s Elvis, and Elvis in a white jumpsuit, and also degenerated Elvis, the Elvis that looked 60 when he was actually only 40? So it was a big call. And thanks to years of vocal and movement training, Butler pulls it off. Lerman also wanted to explore the toxic relationship between Elvis and his longtime manager, Colonel Tom Parker, played by Tom Hanks, as a grifter who controlled Elvis's every move for his own personal gain. It was actually Parker who pushed the idea of Elvis enlisting in the Army to remake his image after he had been targeted by conservatives over his association with black music and culture. Lerman said, "Understand that in the 50s, when Elvis started singing black music, which young kids could hear on the radio but could not buy, suddenly it became a political issue. Suddenly, the music was jumping the race line. What I hope you get out of this and you come away with is thoughtfulness. Thoughtfulness about America. Thoughtfulness about actually when someone becomes wallpaper. I mean, there's a great fan base who I love and respect for Elvis, but there's a lot of people who think he's a Halloween costume." Elvis was likely unfamiliar with terms like cultural appropriation, but there's no denying he found immense fame and fortune playing the music of black artists. Artists not afforded the same access. And as it turns out, that fame and fortune became a gilded cage for Presley, who spent his final months in isolation and addiction. That fragility was something else Austin Butler connected with. The people that we view as superhuman, they aren't void of fear. And they aren't void of those things that we may feel in ourselves and think that we shouldn't feel that, he said. And that was a beautiful gift that this whole process gave me, was realizing that it's okay to feel those things. It's what you do with it, you know, and it's how you proceed further. Elvis opens in theaters on June 24th. And in local music news, we have this article entitled, "Unbelievable! Dreamville Festival Nearly Doubles Economic Impact for Wake County." This is written by Anna Johnson, published on May 31, 2022, in the News and Observer. Dreamville, the state's largest music festival, pumped more than $6.7 million into the Wake County economy during its second year. Created by North Carolina-raised hip-hop star Jay Cole, the two-day festival brought 80,000 people to Dorothea Dix Park in early April. Tickets were sold in all 50 states, plus Washington, D.C., the U.S. Virgin Islands, and 20 countries, according to a news release. The $6.7 million figure is a conservative estimate and doesn't include indirect spending or spending from local residents. My team and I continue to be awed by the overwhelming support we've received since closing out the second Dreamville Festival this April. But to now fully realize the festival's positive impact on the local economy and tourism is truly unbelievable, said Dreamville partner and festival president Adam Roy in the news release. Festival attendees were able to see Kalani, Lil Baby, Lil Wayne, Wiz Khalifa, Ja Rule, Ashanti, and Cole on three different stages at the Raleigh Park. Dreamville held its inaugural performance in 2019, drawing in more than 40,000 attendees. The reported direct economic impact was nearly $3.8 million. The increase in economic impact and attendance over this year's two-day festival is gratifying to see after the pandemic hindered the previously sold-out event from taking place the last couple years, said Dennis Edwards, president and CEO of Visit Raleigh, in the news release. The successful turnout for Dreamville Festival reiterates that events and travel are back in our area and the demand is still prevalent. Organizers are planning now for the festival's return next spring. Dreamville brings people to Raleigh from all over the world, welcoming them to Dix Park and our city for a great cultural experience, said Raleigh Mayor Marianne Baldwin to the News and Observer. While we welcome the economic impact, we also welcome the diversity of people and music and the statement it makes about Dix being a park for all. So how'd you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, it was on this very day back in 1865 that which song was presented for the very first time? Was that A, the Battle Hymn of the Republic? Nah, that was 1861. Was it C, Honky Tonk Women? No, that was 1968. Was it D, Good Morning to All, which is better known as Happy Birthday to You? That's 1893. Or was it B, Onward Christian Soldiers? Yeah, that was 1865. So that's the correct answer, answer B. The words were written by Sabine Baring Gould in 1865, and the music was composed by Arthur Sullivan in 1871. Sullivan named the tune St. Gertrude, after the wife of a friend at whose country home he composed the tune. The Salvation Army adopted the hymn as its favored processional. Onward Christian Soldiers, 1865. And the answer to our second question, what is a mondegreen? And I gave as a hint an example of a mondegreen from the song Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Olive, the other reindeer, used to laugh and call him names. Is Olive such a mean reindeer? Or is this just an example of mishearing a lyric? Yes. Mishearing is what defines a mondegreen. As noted in a June 17, 2020 article by Richard Nordquist in ThoughtCo.com, a mondegreen is a word or phrase that results from mishearing or misinterpreting a statement or song lyric. The term mondegreen was coined in 1954 by American writer Sylvia Wright and was popularized by San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Carroll. The term was inspired by a mishearing of the line, "and laid him on the green," as Lady Mondegreen, from the Scottish ballad The Bonnie Earl of Moray. Mondegreens often occur because the English language is rich in homophones, words which may not be the same in origin, spelling, or meaning, but which sound the same. Examples of mondegreens, besides the one about the mean deer Olive, who used to laugh and call Rudolph names, include, "I led the pigeons to the flag," for "I pledge allegiance to the flag." And also, "the ants are my friend," for "The Answer, My Friend," in Blowing in the Wind by Bob Dylan. And then Marie Konnikova on the 10th of December 2014, The New Yorker adds, "Hearing is a two-step process. First, there's the auditory perception itself, the physics of sound waves making their way through your ear and into the auditory cortex of your brain. And then there's the meaning-making, the part where your brain takes the noise and imbues it with significance. Mondegreens occur when somewhere between the sound and the meaning communication breaks down. You hear the same acoustic information as everyone else, but your brain doesn't interpret it in the same way. What a less immediately clear is why, precisely, that happens. The simplest cases occur when we just mishear something. It's noisy, or we lack the virtual cues to help us out. This can happen on the phone, on the radio, across cubicles, basically any time you can't see the mouth of the speaker. One of the reasons we often mishear song lyrics is that there's a lot of noise to get through, and we usually can't see the musicians' faces. Other times, the misperceptions come from the nature of the speech itself. For example, when someone speaks in an unfamiliar accent, or when the usual structure of stresses and inflections changes, as it does in a poem or a song, What should be clear becomes ambiguous, and our brain must do its best to resolve the ambiguity. Mondegreens are funny, of course, but they also give us insight into the underlying nature of linguistic processing and how our minds make meaning out of sound. In fractions of seconds, we translate a boundless blur of sound into sense. It comes naturally, easily, effortlessly. We sit through sounds, activate and reject countless alternatives, and select one single meaning out of a myriad homonyms, near matches, and possible parsings. Even though speakers may have different accents, pronunciations, intonations, or inflections. And in the overwhelming majority of instances, we get it right. To gain a better appreciation of how complex that constant instantaneous interpretive dance is, consider the problems of speech recognition software. So who knows, maybe someday when you do something for all intensive purposes, no one will blink an eye. And maybe in the future some avant-garde poet will finally pen a verse to that most lovely of women, Lady Mondegreen. So let's close out with the Mondegreen. John Arajan, in a May 1st, 2022 New Yorker article, states that Paul Young's 1985 number one hit lyrics, "Every time you go away, you take a piece of me with you," is commonly misheard as, "You take a piece of meat with you." Why not? A vegetarian's lament? Let's take a listen. Yep, a Mondegreen. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words: kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. So long, until next time.